Copies of the Bible study, the Revelation study. He has, I noticed, a couple of CDs here on the first and on chapter 16. We're still in chapter 16. Invite your attention there. Revelation 16, we're going to be looking at the fourth and fifth judgment bowl this evening. I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains. You'll notice this, that there is discomfort and pain in both situations and in both plagues. The pain and discomfort here is said to be because of their sin, because they had sin that they needed to repent of, and in both cases, they repented not. You'll notice verse 9. They repented not to give God glory. And then in verse 11, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. We're being shown the bold judgments in this particular chapter, and how severe they are upon those whom they fall. This is not a Sunday school picnic. This is the severe, terrible, exquisite wrath of the living God upon the living. This particular series of bold judgments is said to fall upon the cursed system of Antichrist. We are not just subtly left to guess where these judgments are focused. In verse 2, we find, again, as a reminder, the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a very painful and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And then in verse 6, we find that the third angel had poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water for the very express purpose of retribution upon those individuals who had shed the blood of saints and prophets, those that were persecutors of the true faith, and those that were maliciously used of the enemy to inflict harm upon the people of God. And let me say this, we do not never know when there will break out at any moment a severe persecution upon the people of God. We do not know. The only thing that keeps us safe and sound tonight from experiencing bodily harm because of our faith is the restraining mercies of the living God. Rest assured, it is in the heart of the devil, the same modus operandi, to wipe us away from the face of the earth if it was in his power to do so. And rest assured, he has no shortage of willing accomplices who would lift their hands against us and raise their mightiest inventions of torture and persecution to come upon us. It might seem to be something that would be far beyond our even capacity to think about it happening again. But let us not think that we in the 21st century are better or more holy than other Christians of previous generations who have suffered these things. But the judgment falling in verse 6 upon those who had persecuted the saints. And then in verse 10 we find the fifth angel pouring out his vial upon the very seat of the beast, the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. So what is in view here is a judgment on a particular class of men. And it is those that are mixed up again in the system of Antichrist. Those that are in the name of Jesus, actually worshiping the devil. Now, can you think of anything that would be more deceptive and more beguiling than to be worshiping whom you thought was the living God and be worshiping the devil? To be under the power of such delusion? But here again, we find, and the thing that we're going to see tonight about these particular judgments, the fourth and the fifth bowl, which I have entitled Too Much Heat and Too Little Light. The thing about these particular judgments, we think about those that are mixed up in a bad faith. The thing that makes you vulnerable when you believe wrongly is that it just throws open your life to so much damage. You not only got the depravity of your heart and the work of the devil, I suppose that if you are in a bad faith, that is, if what you believe is a lie, and you believe it as though it is the truth, you are open to more evil than if you had no religion or no faith at all. There's a sense in which it would be better, in one sense, to go to hell without any religion than it would be to go to hell having willfully believed a lie of such proportions. Now, the thing about being involved in the truth, faith and true Christianity, and this is the amazing thing, and I've been meditating on it all day. The wonderful thing about a real relationship with Christ is the very moment it really begins, Christ begins to shut down out of your life evil, destructive influences. He begins to save you from your sins. And He begins to save you from yourself. He begins to save you from, think about this, this world with devils filled, don't you need to be saved from them? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ undertakes this mission. What a glorious work it is that He's accomplishing. And so when we are a true Christian, our life is, as it were, shut down. True Christianity shuts down and out the destructive forces of sin and the devil's kingdom. But here we find again, these people who are being judged in the fourth and fifth bowl are in the very epicenter of the beast and his kingdom. Now the subject that was revealed in the third bowl of wrath is very pertinent to the fourth and fifth bowl. The third bowl was, as we saw very clearly, the just and righteous reprobation of the spiritual teaching. The leaders, the teachers, the ministers within Roman Catholicism. We find that third bowl judgment was viewed as waters turn to blood. And this poisoning, sickening concoction was to the death of all that drink from this putrid and perverted gospel. Now the fourth and fifth plague is an enlargement of the consequences of a believing in this delusion. But instead of the emphasis upon the eternal destructive power of poisonous teaching, there's more an emphasis in the fourth and fifth bowl upon the temporal miseries experienced by people that are loyal to these superstitious and blasphemous doctrines. Now we see the effects in these bowls of phony religion in two particular ways that are set forth in these images. First, we have the image of the sunshine in verse 8 and 9, burning men under its intense heat. Let me read it again. Verse 8 and 9. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. Now, beloved, again, the emphasis must be made that this is not to be taken literally, of course. If this was a literal physical judgment, a literal physical phenomena happening in the natural sun, all the people on earth would suffer, including the just, the same effects, because the sun, as you know, shines upon the just and the unjust. And therefore, if this was a literal judgment of the sun turning into intense heat, as it were, some of the pure elect people of God would be just as burned as the enemies who are in the camp of Antichrist. But this particular sun is for the unjust, perverters of sound teaching. This is the sun of their universe, if you please. This is a judgment upon the souls of those who have chosen the beast and the names and the marks of his system. Now, the main idea in this first or fourth bowl is that the false teaching is going to hurt men. They are going to be burned badly by it. This is the emphasis. The effect of this religion does not quench and satisfy spiritual hunger and thirst. If you please, false religion only aggravates and intensifies the miseries of unbelief and corruption. It doesn't heal anything. And so what you have here is a picture of the sun rays burning men. You've heard a common expression, I've heard it many times in my life, about people who have gone through disappointing experiences. They've used the term, well, I got burned there. I got burned by that experience. Well, this is what is happening. People are getting burned by their very religious experience. Isn't this an amazing thing? Instead of being blessed by it, they're being burned by it. Now, you find that there's a parallel in chapter 8, verse 12, in the fourth trumpet. The sun was also viewed in the fourth trumpet as being judged, but the light of the sun and the moon in the universe was said to be dimmed. It was not as bright. The emphasis in the trumpets was the removal of spiritual light and understanding. Truth had been obscured and hidden under these outrageous lies and human inventions, and there was very sparse amounts of real spiritual light to be found. But the removal, as it were, of spiritual and light and understanding, where does that lead? When the light is gone out of the sun, if you please, only the heat, the damaging effects of the heat is left. And here, as it were, the sun is all out of proportion and is doing great damage under its burning rays. You see, the sun in its in the natural world is a very good thing. But you know, even in the fact that our natural sun, too much sun is a bad thing. Too much sun can wither and destroy life itself. So this is a perfect representation not only of the papal system, but all anti-Christian forms of salvation. Any invented scheme is very aptly portrayed in the fourth bowl as it were, a judgment which burns men. Here, men have turned the very way to heaven and God into an intolerable, scorching system with complex legalistic rules and strict regulations, which ultimately proves to be an unbearable, withering burden to those that are laboring, trying to keep it. And by the way, can you imagine a religious system that weights people down? A religious system that oppresses its followers, a religious system that is demanding more and more works from them, more and more money from them, all the time pressuring from various quarters. You remember, that's what got Martin Luther. He had been through such a series of penances and abstinences that he felt that he could never do enough of works to satisfy the church and thus be reconciled to God. He never felt any inner relief, only the burning, scorching rays, as it were, of his religious system. So what a representation of the false system of salvation. Here, an unbearable, withering burden to all that are laboring under it, trying their best to satisfy its demands, and finding all along life not getting better, but life becoming intolerable. And by the way, it must needs be that any life apart from Christ must indeed wax worse and worse. And every life outside of Christ must be burned indeed badly. Previously, we had the false system in the trumpets shown to be withholding essential teaching. That is, justification by faith, salvation through grace. Now we are being shown that this system of false teaching showers mankind with, as it were, too much teaching. Look at it, isn't this right? Too many emphasis upon religious rites, religious practices, many rigorous requirements, heavy religious burdens, man-made abstinences. And all of these things combined actually makes life more of a burden and a curse to men than life being a blessed joy and a privilege to live. You think about the main tenets and some of the dominant features of Roman Catholicism. Think about the forced celibacy of the priest and the nuns, which has been a doorway into incalculable misery for those who have had to labor under that. Think about it. What a scorching sun it would be, being made to burn, not being permitted in the name of God to marry. Can you think about it again? What an intolerable burden that would be to live under that, not being given the gift especially of celibacy. Here, the forced celibacy of priests and those that are friars and monks and nuns. Then there's the monastery life as a whole, which is a withdrawal from the natural, normal relationships of family and communion in society. Here we withdraw in monastery life to harsh realities. They are withdrawn and taken away from the good blessings and the comforts of life into all manner of rigorous, harsh forms of self-denial. All the rigors imposed and the disciplines of dress and diet forced upon men, all being worthless, but all serving not to set the spirit free, but to oppress and to burden men with these foolish and unprofitable practices. And then think about how those involved in the system are fleeced continually, year after year, month after month, for their contributions to buy loved ones out of purgatory, or to buy extra indulgences for your own failures, or to purchase merits from saints for personal redemption. All of these things and this emphasis upon the monetary and the physical payments necessary to keep up your own redemption. All of this is a lie. All of this is an intolerable burden upon those that are laboring under it. And think about the fact that all of those that are in this system are more or less terrorized constantly by the threat of excommunication, which again is the combined effect of telling men that if you do not obey the rules of the church, you can expect nothing but the greatest tortures in hell. Now what I'm saying is that this fourth bowl again is showing us the effects of bad religion. It burns people, it hurts people, it damages people's lives. We're told in Malachi, when this is a wonderful prophecy, if you want, you can look there, Malachi 4:2. Do you remember that prophecy? Let me read it to you. It's in the last book of the Bible, Malachi chapter 4. Listen to this, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Now notice this. Notice this positive, encouraging look at real Christianity. Here, the Son of Righteousness. Isn't this amazing? These people are not under a Son of Righteousness, beloved. They're under a son of torment. They're under a son of bondage. They're under a son that burns them and hurts them and damages their life. But the true Son of Righteousness, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, arises with healing in his wings. Isn't this amazing? That the true Christ, when you're under his domain, when you're submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ, he ministers to you healing, as it were, health, peace, rest, life, joy, hope, blessings to everyone who trusts him and looks to him alone for redemption and restoration of soul. How wonderful it is. What a glorious picture of the joy associated with really being set free from sin. Notice, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. I can just picture it. You've seen young calves at play as they're kicking up their heels. That's the image here that is presented. You're going to go forth. You're being well fed. You're being well taken care of. And life is not a burden. It is a blessing to those that are under the lordship of Christ. But all this system is intolerable and withering. this man-made, devil-inspired doctrines of corrupted biblical themes becomes an instrument of abuse, excess, extremism, and intolerable bondages. Instead of a blessing, instead of being a delight, instead of being a wonderful gift, instead of being a source of hope, man-made religion becomes, as it were, a blighting curse. I was watching a video of the Holy Land the other night, and I was noticing how that Roman Catholicism has control and dominates the Christian sites in Jerusalem and in the Holy Land at large. And they require, as it were, for the pilgrims that are visiting there, penance and gifts for prayers and a blessing. But I was thinking about how they put merit upon visiting the tomb, the so-called tomb of Jesus, or the so-called place of his crucifixion. They have a church erected, a cathedral on that very site. And all it is, as it were, is the emphasis. There's crucifixes and there's images and pictures. And I thought to myself, if you take away the spirit and life and reality from Christianity, and if you begin to exalt the images and place emphasis upon locations and the cathedrals and human relics and holy places, visible ritual, these particular things curse sinner instead of blesses them. In fact, it's one of the most deadly of all deceptions. So here the fourth bowl is seen as, instead of the religious influences that they are involved in being a liberating blessing and a joy and life and healing, it is the opposite. And then a sad thing in verse 9, you see that these men suffer, but they will not change their ways nor their beliefs. Back in Revelation 16, verse 9, the Bible says, "And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." Isn't this an amazing thing? The withering consequences of their foolish and false doctrine does not produce in them repentance or reform. And beloved, this is a fact of life. This is one of the amazing phenomena that miserable, lost, depraved sinners are capable of. The miserable effects of their own errors and heresies does not drive them away from the very source of their miseries. In fact, without the illuminating grace of God, men's sins and men's false beliefs only deepens their confidence in superstition and fables. The longer that these men are burned by their false system, the more hardened and insensitive and antagonistic to the truth they become. Beloved, I read a comment I thought was very good. There was no man's name associated with this comment, but it was something that ran something like this: "It is neither the experience or pain or the threat of eternal judgment that the gift of repentance is born." Now, why is God judging these people in such a way? Look at verse 9. Here's a key to why God is sending all this wrath upon these particular folks. The Bible says, "They repented not to give him glory." God's anger is being justly visited upon these blasphemers who are placing glory and honor upon the wrong objects. Isn't that true? Isn't that what the system does? They vainly lavish their highest affections upon human personalities and inanimate objects whom they endow with merit, virtue, helping power, the very essential qualities that are only found in the living God and His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are putting affection and placing merit upon inanimate objects and human personalities, and thus robbing God of His glory. Therefore, the Lord has cursed their system Their visual, sensual, complex idolatries produce misery and more pain and become the very means of God's instrument of punishment upon their lives. They are burned by the very practices which they are seeking to be blessed by. Now the fifth bowl, we have too little light. It's amazing. And we continue here in the telescopic nature of these visions, which, by the way, the bowls just draw everything closer, closer, enlarging, ever enlarging. That's what we have seen all the way through from the seals, the trumpets, and then the judgments. We're seeing not chronological events, as it were. We're seeing the same thing told to us over and over again. Verses 10 and 11, look at this. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Here we have a contrast. Whereas we had too much, as it were, light and heat in the intensified sun, now it's the opposite, the reverse. The kingdom is full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Not enough light. The fifth bowl reveals the true nature of the sphere of this false religion. Instead, as they pretend to experience enlightenment, the highest of revelations, they are claimed to be directly connected to the apostles and Christ, but we see that this complex array of merits and mediators and human inventions is directly connected to hell. It is a kingdom of darkness. The system is a product of darkness, and it is the greatest dispenser of darkness. One of the greatest dispensers of darkness the world has ever seen. It's just amazing. Again, I've been looking. We ordered here a while back a series of videos about travel in Europe. In every one of these particular videos, without exception, it tells and it shows the influence of the Catholic religion upon Europe and upon the communities and the cities. I tell you, it's hard for us here in America to understand and appreciate what a dominant force this evil system was over the souls of men, distributing their darkness, spreading abroad their doctrines of demons. But God is showing us the true condition of this unchristian system. It is an institution that claims to be the only representative of Christ and apostolic teaching in the world, but it is the grossest perverter of biblical truth and the greatest dispenser of moral and spiritual darkness the world has ever seen. It is none other than an institution of incorporated darkness. Now Christ has warned us, beloved, and you know, I've mentioned this verse many times in Luke 11:35 when he said, "Take heed that the light that you have be not darkness, because if your light is darkness, how great is the darkness inside of you?" This is, I think, of all judgments, without a doubt, this is the worst judgment, the worst disaster. In all the spectrum, think about it, in all of the things that could be said to be true about a miserable fallen human being, for a miserable human being to be in darkness when he thinks he's in the light, can you think of anything any worse? Does anything have any greater consequences than that deception? Believing sincerely that you're believing the truth, and yet you're right in the center of a lie. And beloved, let me say, I'm not just saying that it's confined to the Roman Catholic form of darkness. Any man-made system, any Christless system that does not teach the truth is as diabolical and as damning. You'll notice the condition here is said to cause and end in pain, and true it is. A life of pain and then ending in pain and then living forever in pain. It doesn't cure man's root problem of sin. Therefore, judgment is against it. The sinful heart, suffering, and death are amplified and aggravated by these false doctrines. Thus you have the picture of men being in terrible misery, gnawing their tongues in pain. And what's interesting in verse 11, you'll notice the combination not only of the darkness causing pain, but they're also the connection of the sores of the first bowl. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. That was in the first bowl, remember? And the sores, what were the sores that we saw in the first bowl? The fact that this false gospel would not cure men's diseases, their spiritual diseases, and sin broke out in visible forms in their life. And here's the sores, here's the pain. The habits, the ways, the enslavement to sin and the devil is very obvious in these people's lives. Because when Christ hasn't set you free, let me tell you, you are under bondage. You are walking around with some visible sores, as it were. Expressions of human misery. Various forms of mental, physical, and emotional misery in men's lives will be the consequence of this darkness. The people's religion, which they pursue with the hope of relief from their inner void and outer troubles, only intensifies their sufferings. It's a bad thing when people are deceived, seeking relief and hope, and only by their practices intensifying their suffering. Let me give you an example. I was up in Mountain View here about a month ago. There was this convenience store, and there was a McDonald's restaurant there. You know where that is if you've been in Mountain View lately. There was a poor family that had come in, and you could tell they were poor the way the children and family was dressed. The man was no doubt a hard-working man. But I saw the man spend $20 on lottery tickets and sit down at a table and begin to scratch those lottery tickets off. And his children literally were crying for something to eat. And what a delusion and a false hope that really inflicts more misery, as it were, upon the sad life that is in such bondage. And so it is, this system. They're expecting something wonderful. They're looking for eternal life and eternal salvation and eternal deliverance in the very practices that they are following through and pursuing with the greatest of zeal. Yes. Only resulting in misery. Now, in verse 11, we have the conclusion of this curse is the fact that people sadly continue in it. Notice in verse 11, same consequences of the fourth bowl, and they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Though the effect of false teaching is eating out the very heart and soul from its followers, still they do not have the sense to see nor the will to change their evil doctrines or give up their corrupt practices. I want to call your attention before we close back to the book of Isaiah chapter 44. In Isaiah chapter 44, God gives an appraisal of the stupidity of people that are worshiping idols. I want you to see something here. Isaiah 44, beginning at verse 16. It's a caricature showing the absolute insanity and stupidity of people that are worshiping an idol, that have made an idol. Listen to this. He burneth part thereof in the fire, that is part of the wood that he's made him a god. And with part thereof he eateth flesh and roasteth a roast, and is satisfied, yea, he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god. Now can you imagine here? Even his graven image. He falls down unto it and worships it and prays unto it and says, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there any knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals, therefore I have roasted flesh and eaten it. Shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? Notice, he ain't got enough sense to know that he's worshiping as his God, as his Savior, something that he can burn in the fire to roast his meal, to cook a meal for himself. And why does he do this? The Bible says he's blind. His eyes are shut. And notice in verse 20 analysis. He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? My friend, what a reprobation when a man cannot see that his religious practices are sitting in there. But this is the state that we find set forth in Revelation 16:11. This tendency in the ancient worshiper of an idol reflects the same tendency in modern respectable people who are going to church in many cases. However harsh and miserable the wrong set of beliefs may inflict upon their lives, their desire and affinity for sin and error is much stronger than their love of their own welfare. People just love sin too much to give it up, even though their religious system is the very means of much of their misery. Aren't you thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus and real Christianity, which liberates and sets free? You know, there's our trials and there's our difficulties and our hardships as being Christians. But I'll tell you this, Christ does not make our life miserable. He's the fount of every blessing. He's the source of true joy. There's peace, joy, love, purpose, fulfillment, completion in Him. You are complete in Him. So how thankful we ought to be for Him who has been gracious to us to reveal to us the truth. May we be established in it. Let's pray. Father, help us to learn from your word. Help us to be profoundly grateful for the influences of the Holy Spirit that have set us free from error, religious deception, blindness, the devil's work, all manner of delusions that are out in the world. Thank you, dear God, for working in our lives. And Lord, we pray that we may live unto Thee. You have so enriched our lives. You have so brought into our lives unfathomable blessings, Lord. We cannot even put in words what You mean to us tonight in saving us from our sins and giving us a purpose for life and showing us, Lord, the future, what lies ahead, and giving us, dear Lord, strength to live, strength to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, and all evil. Thank You, dear Lord, for Thy work within us. Please, dear Lord, let us live grateful and appreciative lives, and let us again be very grounded in the truth. Help us to buy the truth and sell it not. Help us to value the proper interpretation of your word more than even our necessary bread. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.